Hallelujah. How's everybody? Yeah. Praise God. Nothing like being drunk in the spirit, man. I'll tell you what. You know what prevents... Hallelujah. Sheesh. You know what prevents people from getting in? Themselves. No, Jesus gave us the formula to access all things. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and dive in. Hallelujah. We're going to get somewhere tonight. You know, nothing worse than a straight Christian, right? Stiff necks. Glory to God. Oh, I've got a strange message tonight. Come on, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And I can't even remember the rest. And His presence is fullness of joy. Praise God. So you know you've entered His presence when you're full of joy. If you're not full of joy, you're not in His presence. Would you turn to the book of James? I must say Jeremiah. It's James. Chapter 1. Sorry. James 1, verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Hello. Hallelujah. Have you been tempted today? Hallelujah. Don't raise your hands. Because some of you might not, and you do end up lying and being sinful. Everybody's been tempted. Amen? Amen? Man, you hit some weird thoughts today, didn't you? You had some strange desires. You've been tempted in all kinds of areas. You've been tempted to rebel against God. And some of you caved in. And I'm not going to name you. Because God will reveal the names. You know, in the spirit, you know all things. Nobody gets away with nothing. Amen. So blessed is the man who endures temptation. Endurance, in other words, busts through it, doesn't get moved. Knows that the temptation is there, but doesn't grab hold, doesn't agree with the temptation. For when he has been approved, in other words, when you are tested, then you will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I want you to see the connection to those who love him. Well, because we love him, we endure. People say, well, I know God, I love God. Well, if you know God, you love him, then you obey him and you endure. You worship him, you exalt him, you deny yourself, or you don't know him. You don't know him at all. You're a wannabe instead of a Willoughby. Amen? And there's plenty of wannabes out there. And verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but he does test you. He tests you to try to get something to you. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away from his own desires. Blah. He's drawn away from his own desires and enticed. Then when desire, what's a desire? A desire is an emotional want. A desire is a what? An emotional want. This is how the enemy tempts you. He tempts you with an emotional want that is displeasing to God. Everybody got it? And when the desire has conceived, when you've agreed with it, it gives birth to the presence of evil, which is called sin. Now, that presence of evil begins to overtake you. You go under a spell, and it begins to blind you. It is a blinding desire. These desires are called blinding desires. Too many times people don't recognize blinding desires. Again, what's it a desire? It's an emotional what? Want. And the enemy will always try to get you with an emotional want so that when you come agree with it, it produces something. It will come birth. It will birth something that is ungodly. And in this, he says, when a desire has conceived, it gives birth to the presence of evil or sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. See, the one thing that happens in this is because these are called blinding desires. They're unclean desires. They're ungodly desires. They're emotional wants that promote sin or the presence of evil. And what it does is it blinds an individual because it puts them under a spell. And they can't see the consequence. They can't see the end result. So they continue to stay in that condition, and they begin to drift from the presence of God. And the enemy begins to torment them. He begins to bring confusion, frustration, delusion, takes them away from the call. All kinds of things begin to happen. Does everybody understand? Listen, the devil's not stupid. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast God created. He'll outwit us in a second if we're not in the spirit. And he does it constantly. You know, listen, many people came into the kingdom today, but many people were taken out of the kingdom today. Many. Many people were rescued from being taken out too. But many people have gone out of the kingdom today. Many people that were in the kingdom today died today and ended in hell. Thought they were okay. Thought that this emotional desire was of God when it wasn't. Is everybody okay? Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Does everybody see that? So he says, don't be deceived. Amen? Don't be deceived. Be alert. Be consistent. This desire, this is an emotional want out of the dictates of the carnal heart, influenced by the unseen realm, and it promotes bondage every time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, blinding desires. In verse 1, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, read it with me. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and teaching. Now look at this. For the time will come when they will not what? They won't endure sound doctrine. But according to their what? Own desire. What's the desire? An emotional want. Their own desire. He didn't say the desires of God. He said their own desires. That means it's from the dictates of a carnal heart. He said their own desires. They're going to fall from the true doctrine of Christ Jesus. And these emotional wants are going to lead them away. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, or else they will associate with those who promote their same emotional want. They will try to get people to agree with them. And as they begin to promote it, they're now cooperating with something and approving of something that's not of God, and they'll be judged the same way that same person which initiated it all from the beginning. Is everybody okay? Look at this. And they will turn their ears, so they're not only going to become blinded, but they're going to be deafened. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Our own desires, emotional wants, that blind eyes to see and ears to hear, will turn from the truth to the fables of an emotional language. That is an emotion. These fables are emotional language. They water that unclean desire. Does everybody get it? It's an ungodly one. They begin to water it. They begin to hang with people, or they tell people, hey, look at this is what, and they be, oh yeah, well that's of God. When they never even searched it out themselves. They just agree with the emotional want, and things begin, then now it's escalating. Does everybody understand that? Colossians 3. Hallelujah. Blinding desires. It's like somebody just drank the Kool-Aid. They go under the spell. They just drink the Kool-Aid, man. It wasn't the spirit. It was Kool-Aid. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Read it with me, please. Therefore, put to death your what? Your members which are on the earth, what? Now, wait a minute. Is fornication an emotional want? Hey, man, that's a desire, isn't it? Is it clean or unclean? Okay. It's unclean. How about uncleanness, yeah? Passion, evil desire, same thing. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now yourselves are to put off these, all these, which is anger. Is that a desire? Is it emotional want? Yes. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and don't lie to one another. Is lying an emotional want? Yeah. It's a desire. Does everybody get this? These things are all he's explaining to us are blinding desires. Don't lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put to death desires that blind us. The problem is people don't even know it. They're already blinded, and they live in it. Ephesians 4. Again, one of the worst things you can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. How many of y'all know rebellion is a desire? How about stubbornness? I'm just not going to do that. It's called rebellion. It's an emotional want. That want is to, I'm not doing it. It's called rebellion, and it's influenced by witchcraft. Where did I say to go? Ephesians 4? Huh? Ephesians 4. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened or what? Blinded. When the understanding is darkened, it is blinded. Being alienated from the life of God, in other words, from the will of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. Hello? How are they ignorant? Because they're blinded. Because of the blindness of their what? Hearts. Who being past feeling, emotional want, have given themselves over to lewdness. Is that an emotional want? That's a desire, isn't it? To work all uncleanness with what? Isn't greediness an emotional want? Isn't that a desire? Is it healthy? No, it's not. He said, but you've not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, you expose, you sever yourself from these desires that are unhealthy, unclean, and demonic. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. It's lust, the emotional want. Amen. We call them lustifarians. People say, it was love at first sight. No, it was lust at first sight. And now you become a lustifarian. You drank the Kool-Aid, homie. Hallelujah. Praise God. That you put off concerning that way and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Holiness. Their understanding is blinded. They were cut off from the will of God. They've given themselves over to selfish ambitions, amen, which are desires that promote blindness to the reality of truth and connect themselves with an unclean feeling. But they swear it was God, amen. And if you're kidding, God had to give me that feeling. Oh, no, he didn't. He drank the Kool-Aid. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, doesn't the Bible say, be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Nothing. So anxiousness is an emotional want, isn't it? It's a desire. And when the enemy brings anxiousness in us, it actually is promoting fear. And the person does something because they can't wait. I got to have it now and I want it now. Oh, Lord, what do you think? Okay, thank you. Lord, I'm going to cast this on you, but I'm going to go do it anyways. They didn't even get an answer from God. So they walked out on an assumption, and it's called presumptuous sin. It's not faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. I'm going to walk out on blind faith. You're going to fall off a cliff. It's called an emotional unclean desire, blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. When God tells you something, you see it, then you do it. But I'll tell you what, if it's interrupting, if it's an interruption that God has already called you to do and submit to, and you go ahead and do it, that ain't God. God never interrupts himself. And now you lost the trust of him. Is everybody okay? See, we're really gaining the trust or losing the trust. And when there's something in me and you all the time that says, I want to please him. That's if you're born again. If you ain't born again, then there's no desire for pleasing. The only thing you want to do is please yourself. Or you're asking God, prove it. Show me you're real. He ain't going to show you nothing. Because that's called pride. And that's a person that tempts God. And he'll walk away from you. He'll wait till you eat dirt hanging off the edge of the cliff by one fingernail. He'll wait until you call out of a humble heart. Verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Is everybody there? Do not what? Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the what? Now, is the lust of the flesh a desire? Yes. It's an emotional want, isn't it? How about lust of the eye? Yes. How about pride of life? Yes. Well, it's not of the Father, but this is of the world. So you got to remember something, that you are being pressed all the time by the desires of the world. They're trying to draw you all the time. They're going to try to promote rebellion. They're going to try to do all of these things. You are being tempted in every area, even when you sleep. Every one of us has had goofy dreams. Look at everybody's dreams here is not always holy. Amen? They got holes in them, I'll tell you that. But they ain't holy. Hallelujah. It says the world is passing away and the lust of it. But it hasn't passed away yet. Amen? That means that the lustful desires, emotional wants, are going to tempt you in every area. They're going to try to get you to move out of God's time. They're going to try to get you purchase out of God's time. They're going to try to get you to marry out of God's time. They're going to try to get you to do everything out of God's time and keep you blinded. Is everybody okay? But he who does the will of God abides for what? Forever. So remember, the enemy does not want you to do the will of God, because then you will abide forever. The world is nothing but an unclean desire. That's all it has to offer, me and you. They're unclean emotions, emotional wants. That one of the things, when you are born again, that's what begins to tear away. You begin to even get torn away from some of your family members that love you. And you love them, but they're of the world and you're not anymore. And they don't understand you because they're not born again. They don't understand your language anymore. They don't understand why you give money to the kingdom when they need a new car. They don't understand why you do the things that you do now. Not only another language, another way of thinking, a whole complete way of life. Because you live eternally now, while our family members live temporary. Is everybody okay? That's why we pray for them. Ask God to visit them, slam them. Galatians chapter 5. Now, don't call destructive fire down on your family members, okay? Ask God to visit them, amen? You baptize them with fire, you know, but praise God. They can't speak in English for 3 days. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. I mean Galatians. Thank you. It's just new wine, that's all it is. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, let's read it. Now the works of the flesh, now wait a minute, the works of the flesh are emotional wants. Amen? They're desires of the world, aren't they? Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery. Now, the world says that's okay. Amen? There are fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit eternal life. They just won't. But the fruit of the Spirit, now wait a minute, the fruit of the Spirit, these are emotional wants. These are desires that are healthy. They promote life. The other ones promote death. It says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That means control over yourself. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions or, and what? Desires, emotional wants. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become what? Now he warns is conceited. That's another desire, isn't it? That's going to promote death. Let us not become conceited or provoking one another or even envying one another. Those are, again, desires that are emotional wants that are unhealthy. Amen? They promote death. These are called blinding desires, which are works of the flesh. But again, we just talked about the fruit of the Spirit. These desires that you and I, when we begin to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, those desires, they not only promote life, but they promote sight. They promote vision, and they promote revelation. I'm going to give you them again. Sight, vision, and revelation. You're going to be tested after service today, so write it all down. You won't be tested by me. Now, again, they promote sight, vision, and revelation. Does everybody see that? So then, the works of the flesh, which are blinding desires, emotional wants, they promote blindness to discernment. They promote blindness to discernment. They steal truth from you, they exchange it for deception, and they destroy your calling. They blind discernment, they steal the truth, and they destroy the calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, there's an area where I want to say that this is how visions or dreams get stolen. These are dream thieves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is everybody there? In verse 8, I think. Sounds good. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat. You do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, there are things that are, you know, just because we're doing something doesn't mean we're going to hell, but it might not be helpful. Does everybody get it? But the end result can promote a desire that's going to promote sin, birth sin, and next thing you know, you're drifted away, easily drifted away. Listen, we all have good intentions, amen? We all want to do the right thing, but doing the right thing and wanting the right thing is two different things, amen? We can talk about all day long about wanting to do the right thing, but until we get off our blessed assurance and do the right thing, nothing's going to happen. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. Is everybody okay? Blinding desires. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Would you read it with me, please? Now godliness when contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into what? Temptation. Why? Because it's an emotional want, isn't it? And a snare, and into many foolish and harmful what? Lusts, which drawn men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man or woman of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the love of money, that is the desire. Look, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. But when money rules you, has everybody got it? People go, I mean, you know, you watch some of these crazy TV flicks, people do anything for a buck. They eat worms and, I mean, all kinds of strange things for money. They make idiots out of people on TV for money. That's just on TV. I wonder what goes on behind the TV, you know. People go through great lengths for money because they love money. And that is an unhealthy desire. Because the purpose of some peoples in that arena of money is to build their kingdom, their empire, not to expand God's kingdom. And I'll tell you today, the Lord was speaking to me about something. And that's all I heard. It was a good thing. It's a good thing to have a desire to expand my kingdom. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And that's all I heard today when he was sharing with me. He said, it's a good thing. I thought, wow. You know, if we focus everything on expanding his kingdom, then there's that more sensitive of conviction, more sensitive of his will, more discerning. We're able to see better because that desire is a good desire. Lord, we desire to expand your kingdom. That means that you're willing to live for him and you're willing to die for him. And that means you're willing to do his will no matter what the cost, no matter what. Why? Because you want to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. I don't live to please my wife. I don't live to please my children. I live to please him. They got to work out their own salvation. I can't work out their own salvation. I can be an example, but I can't change no one, and either you can't change no one. Only the Creator can change his creation. Amen? So what's all we're trying to do is bring people and lead them to the one that made them. Here, he's the one that made you. You want to know everything? Once you get to know him, you got everything. Once you know him, you don't lack anything. And the closer you are to him, the more abundance you have. But the greatest thing is not the material, the riches of revelation and understanding, the riches of knowledge. See, because he reveals secrets to those who are close to him. I love to be woken up by the Lord. I love to wake up with a song in my mouth. It's better than a cigar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, let's go a little further. We're good there. We don't got to go on further. So the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? It is an unhealthy desire. It's an emotional want that end result will become destructive and death. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm sorry. In verse 6. Let's speak it together. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and what? In sound mind. So we know that fear is a blinder, isn't it? It's an emotion. It's an emotional want. It is a desire. People don't even know it. Do you know that people desire fear? They look to be fearful. And they don't even know it because the spirit of fear is there. And when they're fearful, they're anxious. How many of y'all know shyness is nothing but a spirit of fear? Oh, he's just shy. No, he's not. He's got a demon. I don't go out and tell, you know, this is my child. He's just shy. Oh, hey, he's got a demon, you know. No, man, you just you just step back and you bind that thing in Jesus' name. Loose that child in the name of Jesus. I have to cast out a devil out of my bird sometimes, you know, he gets really vicious. Come out in the name of Jesus. She becomes a chicken hawk, you know. Hallelujah. So we got to be careful about opening the door to fear. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Verse 14. Let's speak it, please. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Oh, hallelujah. How many of the devil pushes and the Spirit leads? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy. Why? There's a relationship. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's go a little further. For I consider that the what? Suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's me and you. Oh, hallelujah, is right. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Blinding desires. They blind your discernment. How many of y'all know you need discernment? Man, without that, we go bonkers. We drive off the road, man. In verse 17, love has what? Been perfected among us. Now, wait a minute. Isn't love a fruit of the Spirit? Amen. So it's going to promote life, isn't it? It's a good desire, isn't it? It's not lust. This love is from God Almighty. It's different. It's totally different than what the world calls love. It says here, that love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, we are like him. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. But perfect love, which is from God, will cast out all fear. So when people fear, it's because they haven't... love's not been perfected in them. The eternal love. They still have fear. And because they still have fear, they still have want. Does everybody understand that? But when you have God's perfect love, which casts out all fear, you have everything. You may not have nothing of what the world counts as something, but you have everything. Listen, when I had my visit from the Lord, I was fulfilled. I didn't do anything. I was fulfilled. I was ready to go home. Okay, I'm done. Let's go. I had no wants. I didn't care. So what? Okay, I'll sit on cardboard. I'll eat dinner on cardboard boxes tonight. My wife had a little rough time, but I could care less. Of course, she was just coming out of the world. I just came from the throne. I was fulfilled. Didn't care about nothing. Didn't need a phone. Didn't need a car. Didn't even need electricity. I could care less. But God provided everything, began to fall in its place. Because when you have him, you have everything. And far above all you could ever ask or think, I didn't have to ask for anything. Things began to come. I didn't have to ask. Why? Because he says he knows your needs. Does everybody understand that? I can't express enough that when you're in the presence of the Lord, that when something doesn't seem like it's happening, it is. He's just working somewhere else. Because he's got you right where he wants you, in his presence. Okay, now I'm going to take care of this, 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 and this. And you just stay right here. I know you don't know if anything's going on. You don't have to know. You just got to trust. This relationship is not on a need-to-know basis. It's on a trust basis. Does everybody get it? Why? Because he's the one that made me. If he made me, I got a lifetime warranty now. That's what that seal is by the Holy Spirit. It's a lifetime warranty. So when I mess up, I just go to the manufacturer. I show my warranty deed out, and he fixes me. Sometimes with a little chastising, but he fixes me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. All right. Let's go to Judges 16. Hallelujah. Judges 16. In verse 18. And we've all heard the story of Delilah and Samson, right? Yeah, we've all fallen into that, haven't we? It says, when Delilah saw that, in verse 18, that he had told her all his heart. I don't need to go any further. Hallelujah. Anyways. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Hello, nice girl. She was a snake, that was all. So she began to what? Torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep, and he said, I will go out again and do the same thing, because I'm a strong dude, just like I did before. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him to Gaza. They bound him with bronze and fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. And here was a man that was called by God. He had an anointing on him that was strong, but he had a desire, an emotional want that pulled him right out of position. Now, I want to share something with you that many, from the garden, an emotional want always started with a relationship. Right from the garden. The serpent wanted Eve, and Eve wanted the serpent then, and to produce an offspring. And we had the serpent line. It always associates with a relationship. Always. That's how it starts, and then it goes to something else. So you got to be careful. Listen, this, with this desire that he had, this emotional want, it started, it first produced spiritual blindness, then physical blindness. Amen? He never could see the consequences of why he was disobeying God. He never could see the consequence of disobeying God. The only thing he was concerned about was fulfilling that emotional want. Now, some people do it with materialism. They exchange the relationship with materialism or talents or abilities and that thing. Paul, who became Saul, the same thing. Acts 9. He believed he was doing the right thing, killing for God. He had a desire, an emotional want to fulfill. In Acts 9, it talks about this. Now, his was all associated with pride, wasn't it? He was out for his own agenda, thinking he was doing the thing of God, but it really wasn't. Acts 9 and verse 1. Look at this here. It says, then, is everybody there? Then Saul breathing threats. Is threats a desire? Yeah. It's an emotional want. Look at, and murder. He was out murdering Christians. He was killing them. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way or Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem and have them killed. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, because he was blinded. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. God put him on a 3-day fast. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight." And Ananias answered and said, "Lord, you know, I heard many things about this dude, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name among the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Threats and murder, blinded desires.'" He couldn't see all the way through. He didn't realize how much harm he was doing. Again, blinds discernment, steals truth, and destroys the calling. But God was merciful, who blinded him from heaven, so that he might receive his sight. And once he saw clearly, he realized what he was doing. Amen? In Revelation 17, this is where the Kool-Aid was made. Revelation 17, people drink the Kool-Aid and go under a spell. Then one of the seven angels, we had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and a woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. In other words, all of her wants were met, having in her right and in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, "Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement in how many people have drinking the Kool-Aid and still do. And I'm telling you, you got to be careful, because these desires are imparted from the enemy. It's a demonic influence that promotes a desire, an emotional want. And when that comes, its end result is destruction. It's death. You become blinded to discernment. You exchange truth for deception. And you allow your calling to be destroyed. We must examine ourselves in these areas. Amen? And Psalm 23. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, okay? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now look at this. I'm telling you that when you get caught up and you drink this Kool-Aid, man, you are blinded to certain. You have to fight. But I'm telling you, you got to fight to get to that table. And it's a humble table. It's a table of humility. It's a table of repentance. It's a table of trust. It's a table of surrender. Because look what happens. When you fight to get to that table, it says, "You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over." Why? Because the anointing breaks the yoke. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life," even though I made the mistake. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," because I have changed my way. Psalm 34, and we'll close here. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Blinding desires. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is what? No want to those who what? Fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Does everybody get that? Amen? So it's our responsibility to stay close. It's our responsibility to expose ourselves. And it's our responsibility to allow someone else expose us. Amen? It's important. You battle. You fight. When you drink the Kool-Aid, get to the table and let the anointing break the yoke. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, any area in our life that we've touched a cup of Kool-Aid, we've allowed these blinding desires to prevent us from doing your will and promoting our own selfish ambitions, we ask for your forgiveness. Now we commit to you our ways. We acknowledge you in all our ways and works. And we ask that you exchange our heart for your heart, our desires for your desires, and our will for your will from this day forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.